let us now discuss a very important act, that is the Right to Information Act. This has we have been hearing a lot about this act in recent times. Also the Environmental Act and Pollution Acts. RTI, also called Right to Information Act, is an act of the Parliament of India. The aim of this act was to provide for setting up the practical regime of right to information for citizens. You know, information as to how the functioning of various bodies was not accessible always to all the citizens of our country, but with this act it is possible. It replaces the erstwhile Freedom of Information Act 2002. The act applies to all the states and union territories of India except the states of Jammu and Kashmir. Under the provisions of the act, one can request information from a public authority, a body of government or instrumentality of state. So as I said, you know, previously to demand this kind of information was not feasible or was not practical, but now it is. Scope: it is applicable to all constitutional authorities. It is applied to any institutional or body established or constituted by an act of parliament or a state legislature. It is applicable to any appropriate government, including bodies owned, controlled or substantially financed by government, or non-government organizations substantially financed directly or indirectly by funds. Private bodies. Private bodies are not within the Act's ambit directly. The process, the RTI process, involves a reactive disclosure of information as opposed to proactive, and disclosure of information by the authorities. An RTI request initiates the process. It must appoint their public information officer. Any person may submit a written request for information. It is the public information officer's obligation to provide all such information to the citizens of India who require information under this act. Assistant public information officers to receive all the RTI requests, and the applicant is required to disclose his name and contact particulars of the applicant. How is an RTI inquiry dispensed? If to the PIO, then reply is to be given within 30 days of the receipt of application. If to assistant PIO, the reply is to be given within 35 days of the receipt. If the PIO transfers the request to another public authority, then the time allowed to reply is 30 days. And information concerning corruption and human rights to be provided within 45 days. However, if life or liberty of any person is involved, the PIO is expected to reply as soon as possible, that is within 48 hours. Since the information is to be paid for, the reply of the PIO is necessarily limited to either denying the request or providing a computation of further fees. The time between the reply, the PIO, between the reply of the PIO and the time taken to deposit is excluded from the time allowed. If the information is not provided within this time period, it is treated as deemed refusal. Refusal with or without reasons may be a ground for appeal or complaint. This is again very important. If there is a refusal, it may become a ground for appeal or complaint. Exclusions: Central Intelligence and Security Agencies specified in the second schedule, like IB, Directorate General of Income Tax Investigation, RAW, Central Bureau of Investigation CBI, Aviation Research Institute BSF, CISF, Assam Rifles. Exclusion: Special Branch CID, Special Service Bureau of Andaman and Nicobar, pertaining to allegations of corruptions and human rights violations. Further information relating to allegations of human rights violation could be given, but only with the approval of the Central or State Information Commission. Information occlusion: the following is exempt from disclosure under Section 8 of the Act. Information disclosure of which affect the sovereignty and integrity of India, yes, in that case it can be excluded. The security, strategic, scientific or economic interest of the state, relation with foreign state. Information which has been expressly forbidden to be published by any court of law or which may constitute contempt of court. Information the disclosure of which could cause a breach of privilege of parliament or the state legislature. And information about a fiduciary relationship, unless the competent authority is satisfied that it is in the larger public interest, yes, in that case it can be. Information received in confidence from foreign government. Information the disclosure of which could endanger the life or physical safety of any person or identify the source of information. also information which would impede the process of investigation or apprehension or prosecution of offenders, cabinet papers including records, deliberations of the Council of Ministers, secretaries and other officers, information which relates to personal information, the disclosure of which has no relationship to any public activity or interest. Notwithstanding any of these exemptions listed above, a public authority may allow access to information if public interest in disclosure outweighs the harm to the protected interest. This is a very, very important point. So, irrespective of all the exemptions that have been we just discussed, a public authority may allow access to this information if the interest of the people outweighs the harm to the protected interest. However, this does not apply to disclosure of trade or commercial secrets protected by law. Now, let's discuss a very important point, that is RTI and health related issues, mainly related to government funded hospitals, government aided NGOs. Always disclose the name, such as PIO in health department. Special attention must be given to medical legal cases such as dowry death, poisoning, death in police custody, medical negligence and professional misconduct. Issues related to operation of health department in a government sector, such as auxiliary nurse, midwife not visiting the public health centers. Issues related to expense and audit in health department. Issues related to the constructions of the department to the construction of hospital buildings. Issues related to vendors, selection and purchase of the costly machines. Issues related to registration of vital events such as birth, death. Issues related to the recruitment of manpower in hospital and healthcare organizations. Let us now talk about Environment Protection Act, which came into force in 1986. It is also an act of Parliament of India, and it was made in the wake of Bhopal tragedy under Article 253 of the Constitution. The purpose of this act was to implement the decision of the United Nations Conference of the Human Environment of 1972. We all are aware of the Bhopal gas tragedy which took place, and post this, this act had come into place. The act is an umbrella legislation designed to provide a framework for central government coordination of the activities of various central and state authorities. What are the objectives of this act? Most important is to coordinate the activities of the various regulatory agencies, creation of an authority or authorities concerned for environmental protection, regulation of discharge of environmental pollutants and handling of hazardous substance, speedy response in the events of accidents threatening environment. So these are the most important objectives of this act. The AIR, that is Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981, and the AIR Prevention and Control of Pollution Rules 1995. It was basically enacted for the prevention and control of pollution in air, applicable to all places of work covered under the Factories Act 1948. The central and the state pollution control boards are the enforcing agencies. The main objectives was grant a no objection certificate to industries, setting standards for industrial pollution in the ambient air, monitoring, analysis and conducting investigations regarding air pollution. So this is again a very important act, because with so many industries which have come up, it is very important to see that the air pollution does not harm the people at large. So these certain rules, regulations have been laid down by this act, which all the industries and factories have to follow. The enforcement is carried out by the state pollution control boards through qualified engineers and scientists. The occupiers of factories are required to ensure that the amount of pollutants released in ambient air, it has to be in accordance with what has been mentioned. No provisions related to monitoring and control of airborne concentration of pollutants at the source as well as in the workroom, and not to prescribe the precautions to protect workers against harmful airborne substances. Now, the health effects of air pollution, most important, COPD, stroke, lung cancer, cystic fibrosis. So children below 5 years are most vulnerable. Yes, there is a correlation between pneumonia related deaths and air pollution from motor vehicle. We have recently seen in Delhi what are the pollution level has gone so high that certain rules have been laid down for vehicles also. So, and Mumbai is also now amongst the highest pollution causing cities. So I think these acts are, it's high time that people realize the ill effects of air pollution. Different types of lung cancer, that is small cell carcinoma of the lung, adenocarcinoma of the lung. Air quality health index, also known as AQHI, measurement is based on the observed relationship between NO2, ground level ozone, and particulates. Periodic health checkup of industrial workers, spirometry, X-ray chest, replacement of diesel and petrol vehicles by CNG. Yes, this is a very good move recently, which has been taken up by the government also, that they are promoting more and more CNG vehicles. Creation of green belt along the roadside. This is again very important. A lot of trees, we have seen, it's basically a vicious cycle. You know, a lot of construction activities are happening, trees are being, are going away, and level of pollution is increasing. Vehicles are adding to the nuisance. So, in fact, it is in the general interest of the public where they are educated more about the ill effects of air pollution, so that, you know, our future generations can enjoy a healthy life. Now, let's discuss the Water Act of 1974. And the Water Rules 1995. It was enacted for prevention and control of pollution in water courses. These are applicable to all places covered under the Factories Act. The central and the state pollution control boards are enforcing agencies, and with the main aim to provide the technical guidance, monitoring, analysis, and conducting investigations regarding water pollution and setting standards for industrial effluents in water. The enforcement is carried out basically by the state boards through their qualified engineers and scientists. The occupiers of the factories are required to ensure the amount of effluents in the water letouts do not exceed the permissible limits. This is very important. There are no provisions relating to control of harmful substances during use, handling and transportations, as safety precautions are to be taken. Some important facts about water pollution. Control of waterborne epidemic diseases such as cholera, typhoid, hepatitis A, acute gastroenteritis, etc. So, physical testing of water pollution, TSS, that is a total suspended solids and turbidity. Chemical testing of water pollution are pH, BOD, COD. Bioindicator, that is presence of copepods and crustaceans found in the fresh waters. And coliform of bacteria are commonly used as bacterial indicator of water pollution. So, you know, many diseases are typically, they spread very fast through water. Typically amongst them are cholera, typhoid, hepatitis. So, it's very important that people are made aware about this because water pollution is dangerous. How do you control water pollution? Cooling ponds, cooling tower, cogeneration, creation of oxidation pond and water treatment plants, Ganga, Safai, Pariyojana, and very recently what our Prime Minister Mr. Modi has announced is the Swachh Bharat Abhiyan. Thank you.